Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you. We can be in a service and there can be praise. But I'm here to tell you today that that was worship. That was worship. And I'm going to go from one side to the other to show you that I got my boots on today because we're going to kick butt. That's what I said when I first came in here. I said, we're going to kick butt today. I'm going to talk to you today about something that's very, very, very important. And I'm sure that all of you have faced it one time in your life or another, and it's called fear. Fear. Webster's Dictionary has a lot to say about fear. It says it's a sudden attack, an ambush, a snare, a feeling of anxiety, an agitation, evil, dread, terror, a feeling of uneasiness, anxious, doubtful, disagreeable, fright, and panic. Philippians 4:4 through 7 reads this way, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let me repeat that, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the result is verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I'm going to say today that everyone here, everyone under the sound of my voice in this place today, has been afraid or is afraid of something. As children, we fear the dark. We fear storms. I'm not a child anymore, but I remember fearing the dark, fearing storms. And as we grow up to teenagers, we don't fear the dark anymore, but we do fear rejection. Don't you guys that are teenagers, feeling rejection? We don't feel thunderstorms, but we have a fear of embarrassment. When we get to adulthood, we have fears of failure, sickness, death, and even rejection. Fear if we do something different for God, things for Him. What will people say? Will we fail? Or what about if others turn away from us, even possibly family members? Anybody been there and done that? For teenagers, it's the pressures at school. How about the pressures to drink? How about the pressures to smoke, teenagers? How about the pressures that you face every day from your peers to be like them, to dress like them, to wear the designer clothes? It's such a pressure on you guys. Has fear ever stopped you? Have you ever not done something you knew you needed to do because you were afraid? Some of you today may be expecting God to do great things in your life, but not wanting to hear what you need to do for God. Fear will remind you of your past. It will control your present and your future. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. As children of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to step out in faith, have a living contact with God on a daily basis. It's so important. You cannot go through life without having a Sunday morning service or possibly coming out on Wednesday. You have to have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Everybody fears something in their lifetime. But while fear can keep you alive, it can also kill you. What am I saying? Anxiety, stress can have life-threatening consequences that can produce a heart attack, cancer. I just had a message from a pastor in Portland, Texas, who actually we have an ordination through. And he said he was talking to a pastor, and this pastor never took any time off. They were also always stressed out because of the problems of their congregation, and they just didn't have any time. And now he developed cancer. And the doctor said he was 100% sure it was stress-related because they didn't take that time to step back, relax, and enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy life. 365 times in the Bible, it talks about fear. I think that's really important because that's one for every day of our life. I mean, every day of our year, at 365. And if you time that by your life, times that for as long as you serve the Lord and are living for Him. I'm talking about fear today because it's destructive. It could keep you from fulfilling God's plans. It's not only bad for your body, but for your spirit as well. We can't serve God the way we should when we have fear in our life. We can't be powerful when we are full of fear. People fear all sorts of things. Feels like fears like poverty, lack. I already talked about sickness. And they try to define you. Now listen to this. They try to define you, but there's only one who can define you, and He designed you. Amen? Fear can stop you. When the fear of physical harm keeps you from serving God. In the early church, they were told that they would be killed for worshiping God. They said, all you have to do is bow down and say, Caesar is Lord. I'm not bowing down to say Caesar is Lord. And their life, they were told their lives would be spared. Well, you know what? They were so fearful, they went boom, 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 bowing down to Caesar. In Daniel 3, we have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You all know that story. And you can probably tell it to me. You know it very well. Mm-hmm. But men against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to the king. And they said, these men will not bow down before the golden image that you created. So what did he do? He said, all right, do the fire. Hot, hot, hot fire. And he said, throw them in. Well, he said, who is the God who will deliver you now from my hands? Verse 7 in the scripture in Daniel 3, it says, they had no fear, but said, if that is the case, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery bush, and He will deliver us from your hand. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden image. And you all are nodding your head, but in a little bit I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me. You have heard this story many, many, many times. And you know the end of the story. They walked out of that furnace with not even smelling like smoke and not a burn on their body. But when we feel harm, it keeps us from doing what we need to do. And the devil will use it. He will use fear to stop you. How many of you, if I ask for a raise of hand, which I'm not going to, how many times has fear stopped you from fulfilling your God-given destiny? Amen? Romans 12:2 tells us this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I know this only too well. How? Well, I'm about to tell you. You see, our first mission trip was to India. And in India, we landed in Bombay, and that was the first fear I faced. There were guys with military machine guns all over the place. And it was hot. And it stunk. And it was hot. And it stunk. And we were with an evangelist, and he had all this photographic equipment that he wanted to get out of the airport. And I'm like, what are we in for? Just what are we in for? And the missionaries that were there said, hey, listen, go out in the van, go out in the van. Now, all the windows were closed. It must have been 120 degrees and no air conditioning in the van. And we're sitting there, and they're saying, the longer we're here waiting for him to get that equipment out, the more dangerous it gets. Fear. We drive 8 hours that night. During the night, with big trucks, and they drive on the opposite side of the road, so somebody had to hang their head out the window because they used to stop to sleep and lay their bodies underneath the trucks. Well, with that, somebody had to be watching. Oh, here's a truck. Move over, move over. For 8 hours. We get there, and we were at Chinchipata Christian Hospital. On the way up there, my husband slipped 3 discs in his back. So he was in severe pain. He saw a blind Indian doctor who started to work on his back, and that was quite an experience because the hospitals aren't like they are here, and there's this big green snake when we were trying to get into the hospital, and later we found out, we backed up like this, and we found out later it was a one-step snake. It gets you, bites you, and you're gone, 1 minute. So we backed up, and we went into the hospital, and we see this guy coming, and he's, I'm not making fun of the blind, and he's, and I thought, oh my God, what in the world? Roger thought, he's going to work on me. With that, he did work on him, but he had severe pain the whole time we were there. And the morning we were supposed to go into this one location to preach the word, this was our first mission trip. We had no clue what was happening. Well, we got in there, and they got out all our instruments and saying, Jesus, Jesus. And next thing you know, all these Hindu guys came around and got my husband. And they had acid, which they throw in people's eyes, and they had clothes behind their back to club you to death. With that, guess what? I saw that happen, and I ran to the bus. And I put one step on the bus, and I thought, I don't know Jesus. I never knew him. And the second step I took, I heard it three times. So I'm there to help preach the word of God, but yet I ran to the bus, and I really do, as true as I'm standing here, I heard a rooster crow. So I'm here to tell you that, you know, we can all say, this is what I'm going to do, but when your life is threatened, what are you going to do? Okay? What are you going to do? After we left India, that I picked up a spirit of fear there. It was a spirit of fear that was on me for several years, because after we left India, we came back home. They flew my husband to Germany, and then we flew from Germany back here because of the disc in his back, and he had to get some help. Anyway, from there, we decided we're going to Honduras. That was in October, and in January and February, we were in Honduras. Well, we got into our hotel, and we had to walk those streets. And when we got into our hotel, I thought, this can't be. Not again. So I slept with a hammer, because we were doing some construction work. I slept with the hammer in my suitcase for nighttime, because I was so fearful, so scared. And then what happened is that you'd heard bottles, beer bottles, breaking all night long, throwing in the streets. So I said to Roger, I said, well, how about we just stay in this room? We didn't have hot water. But I said, let's stay in this room because the air conditioner made a noise. So that muffled the sound of the broken bottles at night. So I faced fear in Honduras. And then we were sent to seven different countries. The Philippines wasn't really bad, but then we went to Mexico. Because I had picked up that spirit of fear, I'm speaking from my heart to you today, because I know that a lot of you have experienced that, or at some point in your life, you are going to experience it, and you need to know how to handle it. So what happened is, when we get to Mexico, I'm preaching, and a lot of times, but my heart would go. If I'd see something that wasn't right, if Ralph would stand in the back of the room, if you were in the back of the room and you had all black on and you had sunglasses on, which this one guy came in at the end of our service and did, I was like paranoid. I was paralyzed. I finished the message, and then we had an altar call to pray for people, but I wanted out of there because I figured that guy's coming to kill me. So I ran to the car. After I left everybody, I left the rest of the team pray for the people, and I went to the car, and I'm there. How ridiculous is that, people? How ridiculous that to have that fear of God on my life. I'm not saying today that when we're ready to fly to another country, that I don't hear something on television like, oh, a plane crash, or something, and something sparks within me, but I know not to reject it and take authority over it, because there is no fear in love. And fear is false evidence appearing real. So I can't give in to fear anymore. Fear can be harmful to our emotions. Physical harm goes away, but the pain of it will last for a while. Then it goes when healing comes, but emotional pain takes so much longer to go away. I'm talking about those deep hurts. People hurt you. Maybe you were hurt in church. People hurt you and someone hurt you, and then finally you release it and you get over it, but then somebody else hurts you again. And then you think, oh, I can't do this. I'm just staying away from church. I'm staying away from people. I'm just finished with all of it. Fear can be harmful to your emotions, really big time. Some people never love again because so deep was their pain, emotional pain. People have been hurt by other Christians, family members, friends. Maybe that's you today. You want to do the right things, but somebody hurt you. And you began to get over it, and then you got hurt again. But you're afraid to try again. Let me tell each and every one of you today, from this side of the room to that side of the room, try again. Try again. Don't ever give up. Keep trying. Don't let that hurt control your life. Because sometimes it'll control your life and you will do nothing and nothing for God. Then there's the fear of rejection. This is very, very good for the teenagers because sometimes they fear a lot of rejection. Rejection from the students in school with them. Rejection from family members. The powerful fear makes a person say, I don't want to be different from my friends. So I will do the things that they do that are not pleasing to God. People want to be liked and people want to be accepted. Amen? You can amen anytime. I love it. I'll just stir up my boots. Children, teenagers, and adults get into trouble because they don't want to be different. They want to follow the things of the world because they don't want to be rejected. Many times we get a rebellious spirit. Oh, we wear a happy face every day so people think everything in life is wonderful. Do you know that when I usually just a women's meeting or something, I have the women all stand up, and sometimes men too. I should have had you guys do it, and maybe I will, and take off that face and get rid of it because that's the real you underneath the face that we put on, even coming to church. Every day we want people to think that everything in our life is wonderful, but inside we are torn apart and we won't seek help. We say, God can do it on my own. What would my friend or God think if I admit my fears? That's what I thought. What would somebody think if I tell them how afraid I am and here I am going to these different countries and panicking and being paralyzed? Let me tell you a story. One of the ladies that is in my prayer room is here today. But Roger and I have a ministry and we have a team of people in a prayer room. And we've had several people come in and they were in fear. But this one day, this is so awesome. God is so awesome. This one day, the one young girl, we were in the prayer room. And I said to her, what would you do, I said, if a spirit would manifest in someone when they came in here, right? And she said, I don't know, get you. And I said, well, yeah, that's okay, but, you know, so for in between the two services, for 1.5 hours, I talked to her about this. I'm standing outside like this and, come in here. I went in and there was this woman. And she had such a spirit of fear her whole life. From the time she was a child that she could remember, she was always afraid of something. So, and she said, and I'm paralyzed. It paralyzes me. And I said to her, I said, but are you ready? Are you ready to get set free of that fear? And she said, yes. I kid you not. I prayed, laid hands on her, and I prayed for her, and all of a sudden, She almost threw up. And this girl's standing there, and she's amazed because we just talked an hour and a half about it, and now here it is right in front of us. You know what? Just like that, that woman was totally delivered. No more fear. I talked to her like 2 weeks later, and she's walking in the strength of Almighty God, and she's not in fear anymore. Hallelujah. Totally set free. Many people are controlled by the fear of failure. Do you think it's better to do nothing and be successful? I don't know how you'd be very successful if you do nothing, than to do something and be afraid of failing. Then there's a fear of change. Change in your location of living. Changes in your jobs. Many people get fearful when they think they're going to get a pink slip? That's what they get. Many people get fearful over that, and maybe nothing will ever happen with it. Maybe even changing the way you speak and the things that you think. Change the way you serve God. Serve Him with a pure heart. Serve Him with a true honesty to want to do exactly what He tells you to do. Fear of changing your worship to God. Oh my God, well, I'm in church and that worship was wonderful. It was wonderful. But what if I raise my hand? I'll just go like this. Maybe nobody will see it. But what if you really truly worship God? What if you really bow down before Him and worship Him with all of your heart? Amen. How about today? A change of your mind and your actions. Uncertainty is another fear. What is this fear? It's when you don't know what things in your life will be like. If you need to find work, what will it be like? Can you make it? You are uncertain. Should I do it or should I not do it? Let me tell you. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. And God must be thinking, oh, my head hurts from all those prayers. Why don't they just do what it is they know to do? You know, pray. Yes, pray. Pray and tell God, make your requests be known to God. And then begin to thank Him for it. And see how He opens up those doors. But we pray and we pray. We know what the Word says. We know what the Word says to do. But then we pray. Well, I didn't hear from God yet. Okay. This was really neat because years ago, my husband and I were on staff. He was on staff at a large church in Texas. He carried an empty bullet in his pocket. So people would say, well, I'm praying, but I didn't hear from God yet. Well, you know what? This empty bullet ain't going to do nothing in my pocket. You better start doing something. You better start doing what the Word says to do. They say, I feel led. Roger said, I feel led too, but it's empty. You don't do what you think you should do. That's the fear of uncertainty. What about going on a mission trip? Oh, now here we're going to get into it. What about going on a mission trip? I got to look at my notes for this. You feel the pull, the call of God to go, but fear not having the finances. Fear of flying on a plane. You read the warnings about going there. Is the water safe? Is the water safe? What would I do if I get sick? Where will I sleep? What am I going to wear? What if they don't like Christians? Uh-oh. All the devil's schemes to keep you from obeying God and doing what He is laying on your heart to do. God has a call of God on your heart. You can't run away from it. You got to obey it. Fear of a bad report. Now, this is a really, really big one. Self-diagnosis. I know some of you are laughing. It's okay. You can laugh. Have fun. Have fun with it. I'm going to hit you with it in a minute. Self-diagnosis causes you to worry, causes you to be tormented and fear before you know the facts. People pray to be healed, then they speak negative things over their situation. Our friends, they're not here, so I can say this. Day after day after day after day, when something happens, they go on the computer and they look up the word what they think is wrong with them. I am telling you, they are at the doctor a lot of times in a week. Roger, is it 4 times a week they might be at the doctor? And the thing of it is that when they get blood work done, they even look up their blood work, the results of it. I don't know how they do that, but they do. Look up the blood work on the computer, and then what they do is they say, oh, this is too high. This number is too high. This number is too high. But you know, when you go to the doctor, there's nothing to it. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to it. And it's a cycle that they have themselves in. We were up there the other night. Listen, here there's a table, and on the table are papers this high, this thick, with all the medicines they're taking and all the things that can happen to them if they take these medicines. Deliverance from the computer. And then you know what? And then we think something, but it's not even true, because the enemy uses that. The enemy can use that to cause your thinking to think you have a pain here or there and the symptoms of it, but it's not what you think at all. Wait, listen, people, wait. If you have a problem, go to the doctor. Yes, I believe in doctors. Go to the doctor. God can use doctors. And just please wait until you get a report. And then you know how to pray. But seriously, self-diagnosis. Some of you done that. I know. Some people have the fear of death. People talking about Christians who have the hope of heaven, and yet their fear of death. Some have the fear of God, not a reverent fear, but a view of God that is hard, a judge, maybe like the Father they could never please. Sometime, if we are honest, we say, I can't measure up to what God requires of me, so these people reject the faith. Everything that comes in their life, they say, God did this to me. God did it to me. God took this one from me. God took that one from me for what I did. That's not a picture of God. God is a loving, caring Father. How do you think a person looks when they have fear in their lives? Do you think they are wide-eyed? Do you think they have wild hair? Ooh. Do you think they're wringing their hands? Many people are controlled by fear. What did I do? I got too wild-eyed and too much. Yeah, the microphone's afraid. Oh, my gosh. You know what? Wringing of hands and having wide, being wide-eyed and having your heart beat, that's what used to happen to me. My heart would go. And I was really in a state of panic. It was panic. God wants our faith to be like Peter's when he first stepped out of the boat onto the water. Under the waves. The others preferred the safety of the ship. You know that story too. But God wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to trust him our whole life. We need to believe in a God who does miracles. Not for somebody else only, but for us too. God works suddenly. And your suddenly just might be just around the corner. Your suddenly might be just around the corner. Your suddenly might be just around the corner, and your suddenly might be just around the corner. So hang on and trust him. It may be coming today. You might walk out of here and God will answer your prayer. In church, there are people who believe God does miracles, like I said, for somebody else, but not for them. And many have a call on their life to do things for God, but they just sit back and do nothing because fear paralyzes. They want to do anything for God as long as God won't take them to a far off place. Hearts are living in fear. Hearts are living in fear in our country. And that's why it's important that I talked about fear this morning. Because there's so much fear in our country. My husband went to the dentist recently, and the dentist office said, we got to talking about politics. I'm not going to talk about politics in church, but I'm going to talk about my president. Because I'll tell you, I'll give you a little secret. My maiden name was Trump. It was Nancy Carroll Trump for 18 years of my life, and then I changed it to Rinker. But anyway, the thing of it is that when he went to the dentist, I'm talking to these people, and I said, oh, well, you know, like, we love our president in this office. And I said, well, I do too. I said, I believe God put him in office, and I believe God's going to use him, which he is. And then she said, but I want to tell you, she said, my parents were always so, everything had to be just so in their lives. And she said, my sister and I went to visit them, and all they watch is the fake news, and they are totally out of it. She said that is just totally controlling their mind. So when we talk about fear, we also can talk about mind control too, and about all the fake things that are out there. So it's very important that if you're hearing something, to ask God what's true and what's not true. In fact, this past week, I just talked to one of my friends in the Rio Grande Valley, and she said there's a church there that takes in 300 to 500 illegal people per day. And they feed them and they give them a place to stay, but it wasn't good enough for them. The food, what they complained about the food wasn't good enough. The place they were staying in wasn't good enough. And they said, we want to leave here. So they left. And she said the traffic there has increased 3 times from the time that we lived there. And it was busy when we lived there. Said it's really bad, really bad. Paul said, be anxious for nothing in the Word of God. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When fear controls our choices, it will cause us to be silent and to be still. God wants his children active. Say that again. God wants his children active, alert, and armed for battle. In any and all situations. He has equipped us not to fear, but to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ and his word. Why does God want us living by faith and not fear? Because fear can exist with peace. You can't have peace if you have fear. Take it from me, there's no peace in fear. And I can say this because 35 years ago, I was put to the test. I had a black spot on my arm. And I waited about a year. And then finally I thought, well, I better go get this checked. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I want you at the hospital tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. And I went through this whole thing, processed with childlike faith. And I went into the hospital, and she put my arm up like this, and she started taking pictures, and I'm thinking, that's kind of strange. That's, But I just pushed it out of my mind. That afternoon, I got a call from the doctor. She said, you have to have extensive tests. She said, you have to have a bone scan, a liver scan. I said, well, what's wrong? Am I going to die? She said, possibly. She said, you have a 4.5 millimeter melanoma, which was pretty big, right? She said, and we have to check and make sure that's not in your bones and not in your liver. She said, you're going to have surgery. We're going to have to remove the lymph nodes from under your arm. And my husband at that time, he was working a job at that time, 35 years ago. I mean, he just got the job because we had a craft store before that. And we didn't have insurance. So I said, I have to wait 3 months. You can't wait 3 months. You don't understand. You could have 6 months to live. I said, no, you don't understand, I have to wait. So I waited, and while I was waiting, I was praying. And I was seeking the Lord. And I was thanking the Lord. As I went for the bone scan, I went for the liver scan, and there was nothing, nothing. But every time I went, I'm not telling you I didn't fear. But one night I went to bed, and I was so fearful, I was so afraid to die that I couldn't live anymore. And I went to bed that night, and I said, Lord, I'm so afraid to die, I can't live. I said, so if I'm ever going to have cancer again, because this was the second time around, I said, take me now, because I can't do this anymore. It was just before 5 o'clock. And I love worship. I love music. Just before 5 o'clock, I heard these words. He touched me, oh, he touched me. Oh, the joy has filled my heart. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me clean. Well, was it clean? I know the song. And I got right away. I said, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. And I started singing that song. And he got up to go to work, and I got dressed, and I went up to my friends, and she was up at, she lived in a two-story house, and I went, Janet, the Lord healed me. I'm clean. I'm clean. And she came to the window, and everyone that I talked to, we were building a house at that time, and we used to have praise and worship every Sunday night in our house. It's coming off. I'm sorry, I'm just a radical preacher here. So anyway, we used to have praise and worship in the house all the time. Well, people would come, and one night I'll never forget, this girl comes in and she says, what's that on your arm? Because they took a big chunk out of here. And she said, what's that on your arm? And I said, well, I had a melanoma, 4.5 millimeters. My dad had that, and oh my gosh, he had this cancer and this cancer and this cancer. Well, how do you know that? I mean, you know God didn't use that lady to speak to me. That was the enemy speaking to me. That was the enemy telling me, well, he had this. And I thought, no, not me. I'm not having that. I know. My heart started going like this again. But I knew, and I kept professing that God healed me. And the day that I went, finally went, it was 3 months later, I went in so they could take the rest of this out of my arm and the lymph nodes. Let me tell you something. I said to them, I prayed with everybody. They came to get me. I was scared. They came to get me, and they put me on the bed, and they took me down the elevator. I said to the girl, give me your hand. We're going to pray. I get to the operating room, and I got on the table. Now my doctor was a Jewish doctor. And I said, call Dr. Ernest. I need to talk to her before she does this. And I called her, and I said, listen, Dr. Ernest, God told me I was healed. And she said, okay. But the anesthesiologist told me, listen, Mrs. Rinker, if you're healed, I want to shake your hand in 5 years because you probably only have 6 months to live. 35 years ago. Oh, amen. So I exactly know. I know what it's like to fear. I know what it is to battle the enemy. I know what you go through. And don't be out there and saying, oh, but I love the Lord and I don't go through it. I know if you get a report, you're going to go walk in fear and go on that computer and do all kinds of stuff. But Paul said this, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. God wants his children to live in peace. Fear takes that peace from our life. It takes love from our life. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. We can't fear and trust at the same time. So if you're unsure in your life how your needs will be met, how can you possibly be trusting the Lord? If you refuse to show love, you have to take some chances of being hurt. Faith says I trust. Fear says I'm not so sure. Faith is important to our Christian life. Hebrews 11:6 says it is impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't see God, and you're supposed to trust the God, the person that you can't see? Yes, you are, because it takes faith. God knows what he's doing, and faith is important to living a powerful life. God calls us to do things we can't do for ourselves. He will do things in us that are supernatural if you live by faith. If you live by fear, every day of your life, you won't do anything. You won't do anything. You'll just sit there. When you live by faith, you have to trust God. God doesn't fail. For 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible and temporal, brief, fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Everlasting means eternal. God's word is a description of him. We cannot be controlled by fear, and today is the day to rid yourself of all fears. Today. Amen. Today. Amen. You don't leave this place with any kind of fear in your life. Amen. You leave this place free. Yes. There are some things you need to stop. Number one, stop looking at your past mistakes. Number two, stop seeking what God can give you like a Santa Claus and seek him for who he really is to you.
Amen.
Draw closer to him, and he will draw closer to you. Number three, stop caring what everybody else thinks.
Amen.
We all should have said amen to that one. I got a daughter-in-law. She's a firecracker. She don't care what nobody thinks. She loves God, and she don't care. If it isn't right, if the people aren't walking in integrity, she's going to address it. Four, stop trying to figure everything out and let God lead you.
Yes, amen.
Number six, speak to yourself and worship him. Sometimes we have to speak to ourselves because up here it goes one direction, but here is another, and you've got to speak to yourself. Number six, stay full of the Holy Spirit, having fellowship with him daily. Psalm 34:4 says this, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Isaiah 34:4 says, to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Anytime you try to obey God, anytime you try to do something you have never done before, anytime you try to come out of something that has you in bondage, fear will stop you. Anytime. Don't give in to fear. Go ahead and do something that you know to do. If you're afraid, do it afraid. Do it afraid. That's what I did. I did it afraid. I went to Mexico. I went to 7 different countries. I did it afraid. And then the devil left me alone. Fear causes us to tremble, to sweat, to turn red, to shake, even our knees to wobble. But the Bible doesn't say tremble not, sweat not, or shake not. The Bible says fear not. Do what you know to do what is right according to God's word, in spite of how you feel. In spite of how you feel. How many of you here today are ready to do that in spite of how you feel?
Amen.
This is my question to you. How long are you going to fear over something that doesn't exist?
Amen.
A lot of times we fear over things and they don't even exist. The devil tries to stop you over and over with fear. But you have the victory knowing that God told you that he would be with you always. We live by the power of the Holy Spirit within us in spite of our fear. And the enemy tries to stop us because he does not want you to know the truth and to move forward. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't want you to tap into the power of God through the Holy Spirit. But today it's time to defeat him.
Yes.
Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of who should I be afraid? Roger has a testimony to share with you that many of you, it'll put a godly fear in your life to be bold and to speak out to those who are lost and to those who need Jesus.
I'm not gonna use the mic. I think I can
speak.
Here's one.
Okay, I got one. Thank you, Pastor. I heard Nancy mention about a reverent fear. And fear can kill one if they're not very careful. She asked me to share about the story about my grandfather. Because when I shared it with her, it must have impacted her because it was probably 20 years ago when I shared this with her. My grandfather, years ago, worked at Bethlehem Steel. How many of us know what, familiar with Bethlehem Steel? He worked 40 hours a week at Bethlehem Steel. He worked strictly nights. He also had 2 farms, which he farmed 7 days a week, besides putting his 40 hours in at Bethlehem Steel. Well, how many of us know that all work and no play makes for a dull person? Yeah? I think we all can contest to that. But through this all, my grandfather working at the steel, farming the both farms, and this is back during the Depression time when Mechanical farm equipment was not even available. They did everything with horses and mules, and they had to prepare the soil. And my grandfather knew what it was like. He knew the principles of sowing and reaping. There's certain things that need to happen. One, they would prepare the ground, and it's totally different today than what it was back then. So he'd prepare the ground, and he'd do the sowing. And the next thing was the rain that the crops needed. Well, how many of us know that things don't always happen the way we would like them to happen? Well, my grandfather was one of those people that, because of things that happened in his life, he became very bitter. And it was a process, and it went over a period of time. When he did his planting, and he was asking, I don't know who he asked, but he was asking for rain, and when it didn't rain, when he wanted it to rain, he became very bitter. He was disappointed. And he could not forgive whoever was in charge of the weather. In fact, it got to the point it became so bad that he would stand outside, literally raise his hands and curse God. I can remember him cutting grass for hay. And once grass is cut, and you know anything about farming, it has to go through a drying process before it can be put into storage. Well, now the rains came. But he didn't want them. So what did he do? He stands up and curses God. And his lifestyle took its toll on his family. It wasn't long before his wife, my grandmother, my parents, myself, we lived on the farm. They said, we got to get away from this. This isn't right. We cannot work under a person who continually curses God. Because there are consequences that will happen if we curse God. Well, the time came when my grandfather said, it's time to wrap it all up. He said, I'm going to retire. See, he had a position at the steel. He was like a cleanup person. Took him about 3 hours out of an 8-hour shift to do what needed to be done. The rest of the night, he slept on a bench in the steel. Well, the time comes, and he says, that's it. I got to wrap it up. I can't live like this any longer. I can remember the time he comes home from work, and he had his favorite chair in the kitchen. He goes over, and he plops himself down and says, and here is where I'm going to stay until the day I die. Well, I often thought, my grandfather was a good man at one time, I'm sure. Of course, this goes way, way back. But what caused him to become so against humanity, so against God, that he would just curse God? Well, the time came, and he sat in that chair, and you could go in and visit him, he sat in that chair, and you could go in a little later to visit him, he sat in that chair. And his health started failing him, and it got to the point he got very sick. Now, I wasn't there when he took his last breath, but his common-law wife and his nephew were there, and they shared this story, and I have no doubt other than to believe it's the truth. As my grandfather is nearing the end of his age, he beckoned to his common-law wife at the time and his nephew, please, please, bring me water, bring me ice, and put it on me. I'm burning up. He says, there's flames all over the place. Hey, guys, this is for real. He started experiencing death before he literally died. Now, I thought of this the other day as I'm watching the news. There's a young man on there. He's carrying a banner and said, going to hell, and I'm proud of it. I thought, how foolish can one be? Well, as my grandfather's going through this time, he said, put fans around me. I'm burning up. He says, the flames are getting higher and higher and higher. And there was a window right next to where he always sat. And he says to his common-law wife at the time, he says, there's something, I pull down the shades. There's something outside the window that's trying to get in and get me. He had no fear of God because even at that time in his life, he continued cursing God. So whereas my grandfather is spending eternity, I have no doubt in my mind, but he's spending it in hell. And the reason I share this, because it just tears at my heart. When I hear people say, well, one day I'm going to decide to follow Christ. Hey, we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. And I think about what my grandfather went through. And if you listen to me today, that there's people that need to hear about this. Death is for real. Hell is for real. But how many people you ever heard talk about it when a person is dying and they're going to hell? And I think of it, it didn't end when he took that last breath. Because it says we will spend eternity. It's one of two choices. There's no in between. So take this message and share it, because I know it impacted your pastor many years ago. Because death is for real and hell is for real.
Amen. So if that doesn't stir in your heart to get rid of the fear in your own life and go out and speak to those people who you know need Jesus, then I don't know what else will. Mm-hmm. So today is your day of decision. We have a little bit of more time that we need to spend to tell you about Heart for Children, our ministry. And I just asked for okay. Okay, so today, let's be real. Stand to your feet. Okay, I think we're going to do this after all. I want everybody to take your hand and put it right here at the side of your face. We're going to take the mask off. Okay. When I count to three, one, you're going to take it off and you're going to throw it. One, two, three. Now, if you're in this place today and you have fear in your life, there's things that come up and you automatically you get fearful, you get paranoid, I want you to come up here. We're going to chase that devil out of here. Okay. Yeah, stay. All right. I have this because I want you to repeat this. So I'm going to read it and you repeat it after sentence to sentence, okay? Today, Lord.
Today, Lord.
We give you glory, honor, and praise.
We give you glory, honor, and praise.
For working in my life.
For letting me know the
truth
about the fears I live with.
I desire
to walk a closer walk with you
and desire for your voice to speak to my heart.
I am nothing without you, Lord.
I am a needy people
stretching out my hand
to a God of grace.
To a God of mercy.
Wash everything that is not of you.
Be magnified in my life.
Fill me today. to overflowing
with the Holy Spirit.
Wash away everything that's not of you.
I am ready for the great exchange.
Less of me and more of you.
Help me to accept challenges
without being fearful.
Father, today,
I want to give the fear in my life to you.
I know that I cannot live
with this fear.
I'm praying to you truthfully,
honestly,
and Lord, I want you to know I'm in love with you.
So, Father,
as a hand is laid on me,
I believe
that fear
will go.
In Jesus' name.
Okay, now just stand quietly.
Fear, go! In Jesus' name. Fear, go! In Jesus' name. Fear, go! In Jesus' name. Fear, go! Go in Jesus' name. There's no room for you. Go! Fear, go! In Jesus' name. Go! Fear, go right now in Jesus' name.